And well, it's good to see you here today. We are looking at Romans, and we are in chapter 5 today. And we are going to read the passage together. We are dealing with chapter 5, verses 12 to 17. But I'm going to take the liberty to read from chapter 12, from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. I'll not speak on the last four verses, but I think it's helpful just because it really is part of the section that we're looking at. So, if you have a Bible, it's Romans chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, the great subject that we have been exploring in the book of Romans so far is the subject of justification. Justification. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he writes Romans, this is his focus. And the first 2.5 chapters or so build up to this point. And in those 2.5 chapters, Paul makes clear that all mankind are guilty before God. And then as we come to the end of chapter 3, around about verse 24, Paul brings in this great subject of justification. Now, what do we mean by justification? What does it mean if I say to you that I am justified? Now, justification is an act of God whereby he declares a person who is a guilty sinner to be righteous. God declares a guilty sinner to be righteous in his sight. And the basis of that declaration is Christ's redeeming work on the cross, dying for sin. A person is justified when they place their faith in Christ alone. Justification is an act of grace. It is something that God does freely. And the guilty sinner contributes nothing. It's an act of pure grace. And justification results in peace with God. Let me just read a couple of verses from Romans that we have already covered. Romans 3, verse 24. It says that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. To be received by faith. We are justified by grace as a gift. It is through the redemption that is Jesus Christ, based on his death on the cross, propitiation by his blood, it is received by faith. And at the beginning of the chapter that we are in, chapter 5, Paul says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's this is a wonderful truth. This is one of the greatest truths that we can come across in the scriptures. Justification by faith in Christ alone. It's a wonderful truth. And this is the subject of the chapters that we're looking at, and it is still the subject in the passage tonight, and today rather. And as we've moved through these chapters, we have come through a low point, and we've been at a high point. The low point is man's sin, and the high point is God's grace and the sufficiency of the work of Christ, that Christ can meet our deepest need. That's the high point. And as Paul is continuing the theme of justification in this passage, he's kind of bringing it to a close. This great theme of justification is brought to a close. Not that it's that's it and we can park it, but Paul sort of moves on having to sanctification in chapter 6. But justification is still in his mind as he comes to the end of this chapter. We read in verse 15 this, the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. In chapter 8, in verse 18, we read that one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. So Paul is speaking about justification still in these verses. And as he draws his argument to a close, his argument about justification, he introduces a comparison between two men, two Adams. The first Adam is the Adam of the Garden of Eden. And the second Adam, or the last Adam, is Christ. Adam out of heaven, Jesus Christ. So if we were to put a sort of a heading over our message today, it could be the tale of the two Adams, the tale of the two Adams. And what is it that Paul, what is the point that Paul is making in this passage? It is an important point, because what this passage tells us is that as God looks at the world, he sees two distinct groups of people. There are those who are in Adam, and there are those who are in Christ. Two humanities, if you like. Now, we are all individuals, and we are all unique, and we've all got a unique fingerprint and a unique DNA, and we are all unique, and we are all created in the image of God. And that's so important. We are all unique. But we also belong, we're also part of humanity, and we belong by nature to the humanity which we can call those who are in Adam. And that's the idea that Paul is bringing to us here. And because we belong to Adam by nature, we are affected by his actions. We are impacted by what he did because we are in Adam. That's how God sees it. This is what sometimes people call federal headship or corporate personality. Federal headship, what does that mean? It means a relationship in which one individual represents a larger group, and the actions of that representative are imputed or are transferred onto the whole group. Now, that may sound a bit foreign to us, Westerners, individualists, but that's how God sees it. And I suppose we perhaps see it in life sometimes. So, for example, you can think of a trade union representative who has been given the power to negotiate and to sign a new contract. And the actions of that one person, the negotiator, of negotiating and agreeing contract affects the whole trade union. All the members are bound by that contract. Or we can think of elected leaders who take actions on behalf of a nation. And so, for example, not many years ago, we had UK government officials and they were negotiating a Brexit deal. And it took a while. But what they negotiated and agreed has affected us here in Aberdeen. And so we see that in these sort of examples, that the action of one person affects a larger group. And that's the idea that Paul is bringing out in these verses that we've read together. Now, perhaps you're confused at this point. So maybe it would be helpful to actually look at the verses and see if that helps to sort of add a bit of color and clarity to this whole idea. Paul starts in verse 12 that we read in our passage. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, Paul is starting to speak about these two Adams, and he starts with the Adam in the Garden of Eden. And Paul is presenting us with what we might call a three-stage chain reaction. First, sin entered the world through one man. That's clear. Sin came into the world through one man. That's the first step. Secondly, death entered the world through sin. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. So stage one, sin came into the world. Step two, death came as a consequence of sin coming into the world. And thirdly and finally, death spread to all men because all sinned. And what Paul is doing here in this very sort of succinct kind of statement is really summarizing what the opening chapters in our Bible tell us. Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Now let me briefly summarize Genesis 2 and 3. I'm sure you know it. Many of you know it well. But the opening chapters in our Bible speaks about God creating the world and creating mankind, and all was perfect. There was happy, unbroken fellowship between God and mankind. There was no sin to corrupt and spoil God's good creation. And God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to enjoy it, to enjoy all the produce of that garden. Except, you may remember, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat it, God said, you will surely die. And as we come into chapter 3 of Genesis, we read of Satan tempting Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. And Eve was tempted and she succumbed to the temptation. She ate the fruit and she also gave the fruit to Adam. And he ate, and God knew, and God sought them out, and they knew, their guilt and their shame, and they had to bear the consequences. God has said, the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. And that happened, and as Adam and Eve sinned, death came. And that process of death and decay, which was foreign before this point, came into this world. And death, not just physical death, although that came in, but also death in terms of separation from God. And we see it as we read through the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. Come to chapter 4 of Genesis, and Cain killed his brother Abel, and death spread to all men. And then Paul adds a very important and interesting point at the end of verse 12. He says, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Because all sinned. Now back in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, you may remember that Paul said that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that really concludes that section of Romans where Paul speaks about the sinfulness of man. And Paul proved that Gentiles and Jews are sinners by choice and sinners by practice without exception. But that's not the point that Paul is making in this verse. Not making the point that we are all sinners by practice and by choice, but that we are actually sinners by nature. When Paul says that all sinned in Adam, past tense, aorist tense, if you want the exact grammatical term, he is referring back to Adam's sin. And so that when Adam sinned, all sinned. He's not saying that you and I, we sin every day. That is true. And that's a point that he has made already in Romans chapter 3. But here, Paul is saying something different. That when Adam sinned, God deemed that we all sinned. Adam's sin was imputed to us. And so the point that Paul is making here is that we are all sinners by nature, not just by practice or by choice. Or we could put it like this. Paul is not saying that humans all die because we are like Adam, but we all die because we are in Adam. Now, both are true. We all die because we are like Adam. That is true. But the point Paul is making here is we all die because we are in Adam. And that's the whole idea that I talked about earlier about federal headship. The action of one representative affects the whole group. The whole humanity was implicated in the Garden of Eden. We all bear the consequences of Adam's sin. And as far as God is concerned, when Adam sinned, we sinned. That means that we are not good people who do bad stuff at times. We are sinful people who do sinful things. And the result is death and condemnation. And if we try, this is complicated stuff, I'm sure. And I try to think, well, how can I illustrate this somehow to make it clearer? And so we have one man. Verse 17 I put there. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign into life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We'll come to that second part of that verse in a minute. But what we've learned so far is about the trespass and the inherited sin that affects us all. Adam trespassed, he sinned, and that brought death and condemnation and has affected all. Now, at this point, you might object and say, well, this isn't fair. Why should I be judged by someone else's actions? I didn't choose Adam to be my representative. I had no say in this matter. That could be a reasonable objection that you could bring. And to that, I have two answers. The first one is that God is sovereign. And it's not for us to say what God should do and how God should view things. God sees and does things as he wants because he is sovereign. And it's not for me to say to God that he should do it differently. But secondly, and this is important, the fact that God deals with us through our representative is actually good news. It is good news. If you were to stand before God on your own merit, based on what you have done, and you alone have done, you would have no chance. I would have no chance. So the fact that God deals with mankind through a representative is good news. And here's the thing. This was brought to my attention. I was looking at this. Angels do not have a representative. And so we read about fallen angels in the Bible. Angels who have rebelled against God. They don't have a representative to bring them back to God. The fallen angels are locked up in the abyss. But the good news is that God deals with mankind through a representative. In Adam, yes, we are all guilty and we are all condemned. Because not only are we sinners by practice and by choice, we are sinners by nature. But the good news is, as Paul says at the very end of verse 14, Adam is a type of the one who is to come. Adam is the only one in the Bible who is described as a type of Christ. But the good news is that Adam is a type of Christ, because just as Adam's actions affected the whole humanity, so the second or the last Adam, the one of which Adam in the Garden of Eden is a type of, a pattern, a symbol, his actions have affected all humanity. And that's what Paul is bringing out. And so we move from Adam in verses 12 to 14 to Christ, the last Adam, in the next little section from verses 15 to 17 we have here. And here Paul, so in verses 15 to 17, Paul contrasts Adam and Christ. And in verses 18 to 21, which we'll deal with next week, he compares them and speaks about the similarities. But it's interesting, and hopefully you've got the gist now. And this is it, really. And if we want to speak about the other side of the story, this really summarizes it. So Adam sinned, and through his sin came death, and through death came condemnation, and it has passed to all men, for all sinned in Adam. But Christ, he was obedient. If I can steal a verse from the next section that we'll deal with next week. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made righteous, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Christ's obedience brings life. And his obedience in his life and in his death brings justification. And it is to the many. It is to the many. And so in these verses, verses 15, 16, and 17, there's so much in here, and we'll not deal with all of it, but Paul speaks here of Christ, the last Adam, and the blessings that come through him. And he describes it as a free gift flowing from the grace of God. You may have noticed as we read this that this phrase, free gift, and verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Through Adam, there came a curse that led to death and condemnation. Adam sought to please himself, and he damned all his posterity as a result. Christ, the last Adam, did not seek his own pleasure, but the salvation of lost sinners. And the grace of God has abounded through Christ, has overflowed to many as a result. That's the idea of verse 15. That through Christ, God's grace has abounded. Through Adam, we were cursed. But through Christ, God's grace has abounded. It has overflowed. Much more, he is a phrase that Paul uses a number of times. And then we come to verse 16. And here Paul is speaking about the result of Christ's obedience and how it is different from the result of the first Adam's disobedience. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. And so through Adam, there was condemnation for mankind, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, there is justification. Because of the Lord Jesus, God can now declare sinners righteous. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 8, looked at that last week. And because of Christ, because of his death on the cross, because of him bearing the penalty of our sins, then God can now declare those righteous who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Verse 17 speaks about the supreme power over death. Death reigned through the one man, through Adam. And we see that the world is full of cemeteries, because death reigned through that one man. But through Christ, there is life. And the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so, the Lord Jesus, he defeated death, he rose from the dead, and he is alive. And through Christ, we can have eternal life. And so the curse of Adam is broken through Christ. And the question for us and the challenge for you tonight, or today, sorry, the challenge for you today is this. Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? You are in one or the other. As we thought today, we are all in Adam by nature. And we are sinners, and we stand condemned before God. But as we move over to a couple of chapters, we come to a wonderful statement. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So in Adam, you are condemned. In Christ, there is no condemnation because he was condemned on your behalf. And so are you in Adam or are you in Christ? And you might ask, well, how can I be in Christ? As we thought already today, it is through faith. Through faith in him alone. Trusting in the work that he did for you on the cross. Christ died for sinners. He died for you and he died for me. When you put your faith and trust in him, he becomes your savior. And you will no longer be in Adam, but you will be in Christ. And there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. May God help us to understand. And may God help us to praise him for the Lord Jesus, the last Adam, and how we can have justification freely by God's grace through the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth that has been brought before us in your word, that Christ came to repair that which Adam had undone. He came to restore that which Adam had taken away. And he came to replace condemnation with justification. Death with life. And Father, we thank you for the second Adam. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that there is salvation and justification in his name and because of him. And Father, as we think about these verses, we pray that you will speak to us and challenge every one of us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.